As we consider today the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to refer to you some words in the second verse, the second chapter of Hebrews and the 9th verse. And the words are these: the suffering of death. The suffering of death. For consider him, said Paul, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Consider the sufferings of the Savior. This world is filled with sorrow wherever we look. No matter what century you examine, you will find sorrow. Not one person in this world is exempt from sorrow. Philosophers of every age have acknowledged it. Biographers, no matter how shallow the treatise, have recorded it. Experience has confirmed it. The fact of suffering. There is no escape. It sinks its fangs into the rich and into the poor, the high and the low, the saved and the lost. Except for natural causes and war, perhaps the greatest injuries have been inflicted upon people because of their stand for Christ and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Since the vicious slaying of John the Baptist, there have been no intermission in the attacks upon the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. History is revealing in its gruesome accounts of human suffering inflicted upon the disciples of Jesus Christ through the ages. Battered and bleeding bodies of helpless, humbless believers have been dragged through the streets. Men and women and children have been made to kneel while the axeman's blade severed their heads from their body. Christians have been crucified. Some have been torn limb by limb by beasts. Others have been dipped into boiling pitch. Others have been sent to the rack. Still others burned at the stake. And even now, in this world of ours, people are being put to death because of their love for Christ. Because of their stand for the gospel, many still in this world are laying down their lives for the cause of Christ. There is the torture of mind and agony of body that many are experiencing in this world. And we could never this morning, in our words or in our description, convey to you what is happening or what has happened through history. Are you brokenhearted because one with whom you shared your confidences have betrayed you? Jesus said, "Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." Are you misunderstood? Do your associates not value your taste nor your choices? Jesus could say, "I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price. And if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver." Have your friends forsaken you? All the disciples of Christ forsook him and fled. Do others torment you until you sting with shame? Jesus said, "I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." The psalmist, speaking of Christ, he said in Psalm 22 and 16, "The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet." Do the injustices done to you inflame you until you think you must retaliate? Jesus was afflicted. And yet the Bible says, he opened not his mouth. Do you believe no one cares? Jesus declared, I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. For comforters I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat. In my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Do you feel that the burden you must carry is too great? Think of those words concerning Christ. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The sufferings of Christ. The words this morning in Hebrews 2, the suffering of death. Three things concerning this that I want to leave with you this morning. First of all, the sufferings of Christ were voluntary. Christ suffered willingly. He was not taken by surprise. He knew from the beginning what would befall him. The idea of Christ's death being that of a martyr is nowhere to be found in Scripture. He did not fall prey to his sufferings as a helpless victim who could not defend himself. While ignorant men heaped humiliation and shame and suffering upon Christ, he suffered voluntarily. See his oft-repeated statements. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go unto Jerusalem and to suffer many things. Matthew 16:21. Again, in the 17th chapter of Matthew and the 12th verse, he said, likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer. Luke 22:15, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. The Lord Jesus Christ knew he was going to suffer. He spoke of his sufferings. He spoke of the death that he would die. The cross that he would go to. And the sufferings of Christ were according to the divine plan that was prearranged before time began. And Jesus taught this truth. He rebuked the two disciples as they journeyed that day to Emmaus in Luke 24:25-26. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Millenniums before his birth at Bethlehem, Christ volunteered to suffer. The Old Testament scriptures testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. 1 Peter 1:11. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 15:3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. The only scriptures in Paul's day was the Old Testament. And of these our Lord himself is the author. Therefore, he must have offered himself in eternity past as part of the divine plan to suffer upon the cross, to go to that cross for sinners such as you and I. The Bible tells us in the 10th chapter of John, as you look at it there in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, voluntarily. And then going down the chapter 10 of John to verses 17 and 18, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. Verse 18, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Voluntarily, you see, I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. He laid down his life. No man could take the life of Jesus Christ except he willed it. I am the life, he said. Therefore, there can be no power or force that can compel him to lay down his life. As he hung upon that cross, the Roman soldiers offered him that sedative to ease his sufferings, to make his death less excruciating. But the suffering Savior spurned it. We read there in Matthew 27, verse 34, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ volunteered to suffer consciously. Therefore, we are convinced that he faced the agonies of Calvary knowingly and willingly. One has written, when we suffer, how hard we find it to be still. The flames of resentment, how they leap up in our bosom and flush our cheek with angry red. What impatience there often is. What murmuring, what outcry. What publishing of our sorrow. But the Spirit of our Savior is loftier and grander unutterably. In sublime and magnanimous silence, he endures to the uttermost, sustained by his mighty purpose and by the conviction Jehovah wills it. The Father had so willed it that his Son would suffer. And Christ voluntarily laid down his life. The sufferings of Christ were voluntary. But then secondly, this morning, the sufferings of Christ were vicarious. Vicarious suffering is that which one suffers in the stead of another. When one suffers voluntarily in such a way, one acts nobly. It's not uncommon to hear of one taking on themselves the punishment that someone else deserved. In a lonely cemetery near Missouri, there's a modest marble tombstone. It bears this inscription: this monument is dedicated to the memory of Hiram Smith, who was shot at Palmer, October the 18th, 1862, as a substitute for William T. Humphrey, my father. You see, during the American Civil War, William Humphrey, along with nine other Southern sympathizers from Palmer, was found guilty of abducting a Northern farmer. And for their crime, they were to be executed. But for some reason, William Humphrey was spared on condition that a substitute would die in his place. With only a little time remaining before the execution, 22-year-old Hiram Smith offered to die, and he was shot in Humphrey's stead. What a sacrifice, a vicarious sacrifice. The word vicarious describes accurately the how of Christ's sufferings. But Christ's vicarious sufferings differ greatly from Hiram Smith's vicarious sufferings. Hiram Smith offered himself at the last moment. With but a few moments between death and the man sentenced to die. But the Lord Jesus Christ died as our substitute, your substitute and mine, before the foundation of the world. 1 Peter 1:20. By his sufferings, the Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself the sufferings that you and I deserve to bear. He bore them in his own person that we might be delivered from them. He might have left us to ourselves. He might have left us to bear the judgment of our own sin But instead of man being abandoned to his own fate, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his infinite wisdom and indescribable love, found a better way. Christ was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The Lord hath laid on him, or made to meet on him, the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Christ in our guilty room instead. Christ bearing our sins on his own body on the tree. And by no other interpretation of Holy Scripture, by no bold denial of the facts in the case, nor by false deception can we escape the all-glorious and eternal truth that Jesus Christ gave himself a ransom for us all. He laid down his life for sinners in the place of sinners such as you and I. The sufferings of Christ are voluntary. The sufferings of Christ were vicarious. The sufferings of Christ were victorious. That's the third thing. To what chief end and purpose did the Savior offer himself? Since we have discovered the why of his sufferings, we have a right to investigate whether or not it resulted in success. Were the eternal plans of God frustrated, or were they fulfilled when the Lord Jesus Christ died? Are we merely to present a posthumous award and continue in sorrow and despair with the idea that his valor was in vain? Or did his sacrifice gain the victory? As we have said, Christ gave himself a ransom for all. It was necessary that the wall of partition between Jew and Gentile should be broken down. See, to the Jew, all the Gentiles were poor, wandering outcasts, aliens from the covenant of Israel, as Scripture says, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Ephesians 2:12. The Gentile had no claim on the promised Messiah, for Israel possessed the promises. Jesus himself said to the woman at Sychar in John 4, salvation is of the Jews. And though that Syrophoenician woman fell at the Savior's feet and said, have mercy on me, Lord, thou son of David, the Scripture says he answered her not a word. Matthew 15:22-23. As a Gentile, she had no claim on him. But the sufferings of Christ, my friends, have accomplished what no other could do. And blessed be God. The blood of Christ has broken down the dividing wall between Jew and Gentile. Which wall was the law? And now on the cross of Christ, that enmity has been slain, and Jew and Gentile who have trusted Christ are gathered together in one body. Jesus said, and he suffered, my friend, in order that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Ephesians 2:16. This is God's work, accomplished by the sufferings of his Son. What a glorious victory. This was a mighty reconciliation that was humanly impossible. Apart from the sufferings and death of the Lord Jesus Christ, one new man whom he made, both one, would now exist. The Jew and Gentile, as individual sinners, are on equal footing. All men, wherever they are, can meet at the cross of Christ. And my friend, today, whoever you are, whatever your circumstances of life, whatever your background may be, thank God you can meet at the cross of Christ. For Christ has purchased salvation for sinners, such as you and I. God intervened for the helpless Gentile, for the unbelieving Jew, provided a way of salvation through our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God, you can experience that salvation today. You can know in your heart the grace of God and the salvation that has been purchased by Christ. We have yet to find any natural way in which Jew and Gentile could find a way whereby they could be joined together. But Christ, in his sufferings, by his sufferings on the cross, he canceled that debt of both and made peace by the blood of the cross. What a glorious victory. Among the manifold victories wrought through the sufferings and death of the Savior is the all-glorious triumph over the evils of this present world. In the death of His Son, God provided man with a remarkable deliverance from the daily practice of sin. Here is something that neither education, nor philosophy, nor civilization, nor reformation can accomplish. Man is universally the slave of sin. Perhaps you, in this service today, or listening to this service, are found a slave of sin. You cannot break the terrible bondage that you find yourself in. But He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood avails for me. There's no other way whereby sinful man can be set free. But whom the Son sets free, he is free indeed. There's glorious freedom available for you today if you will come to Christ and experience the grace and the salvation that is found alone in Him. The wickedness of man is great on the earth. Every imagination of the thoughts of man is only evil continually. Man cannot break that stranglehold. But thank God, through the cross work of Christ, through the work that Christ finished on that cross, the bondage of sin can be broken. You can be delivered today by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, brought into the body of Christ, brought into that saving experience of the Savior. The Bible tells us in Galatians 1 and 4 that Christ gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world. All sin exacts a penalty, exercises a power over its victims, but Christ, in His sufferings and death, did the work that no other could do. He defeated Satan upon that cross. He destroyed the power of sin. And out of personal experience, the Apostle Paul could write in Romans chapter 6, verses 14 and 18, "For sin shall not have dominion over you. Being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness." The dominion of sin is broken. Freedom from sin is given. You become the servants of God. We know that Satan is the prince and the power of this world. But praise God, we can believe the word of God this morning in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The suffering Savior. He is the Lamb. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The victory of his sufferings. Will you step into that victory, Christian? Step into that victory continually. The victory of Calvary. The victory that has been accomplished for us. If you're not saved this morning, you've never known this victory. It is my earnest prayer that you might know it now. That you might come to Christ today and be saved by the grace of God. Many of you know I do work in prisons and minister to prisoners on a weekly basis. And continually I meet men who are bound by sin. One young man, just a few days ago, naming him by his name, I said, "You're back in again." You see, it's like a revolving door or like a turnstile. He keeps coming back. The power of alcohol in his life. The bondage of alcoholism. A young man, the young wife, two young children, one not even a year old. There he is lying in a prison cell, bound by alcoholism. I must admit, he's the first to put his name down for the service. Come to hear God's word. He listens with attention to God's word, but he's bound by sin. It may not be alcoholism with you, but friend, by nature, you're bound by sin. Only Christ can give you the victory today. Only his precious blood can cleanse you from sin. Only Christ can set you free. The suffering